A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, armed with cruel aid. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confine, striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. The rescuer may be Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath is his name, from age to age the same. And rainbows win the battle. And through this world with devils filled, should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. The word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's right is still. His kingdom is forever. Amen. You may be seated. Mike, would you pray for the offering? Amen.
I can just imagine, just think about that soldier lifted up that spike. It was you who gave him the strength to do that. It was you who gave him the strength to take that spike and pound it to your son's hands. God, I pray now that this offering would be an offering that is worthy of you.
Amen. Amen. If the ushers will come forward. stand. Our offertory hymn is found in a red hymnal, hymn number 731. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him up on the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 40. I'm going to have our brother Tom come up and read Hebrews 11, 1 through 40.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 40. Thus saith the Lord, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in the deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you, Tom. That's quite a summary on faith and the importance of it, at least in God's eyes, and all the things that happen, as well as reading that chapter, we also see the providential acts of God in everything that took place. And one of the things that we can do in faith and should do in faith and are commanded to do in faith is to pray. Praying is our recourse for the things in life that trouble us. We know that all the events and situations that take place in life, they are the result of God's providence and his will. We don't understand them sometimes, we don't get them sometimes, but we know what we know, and we know that's true. And so to deal with them, he's given us his word. And he said in that word to pray without ceasing. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind. That is an RX, a spiritual prescription to help you deal with anxiety. because anxiety is a sin. It means that as a believer, you're not trusting in God and you don't believe that everything will work out for your good. So in order to relieve that, so you don't fall into that situation, we go into prayer. And I'd like to start with our unsaved loved ones. I want to pray for Zach. You know, he has been tested for COVID, and he's last I heard, he was doing well. And how about you? Yes, Newt. Okay. Ken. What's her first name?
Jennifer.
You said she has conviction problems?
Addiction.
Oh, addiction. Okay. But her biggest problem is salvation.
God.
Okay.
God.
Somebody else? I'm impressed. Oh, Miss Ava. The Smith family, okay. Thank you very much. Somebody else?
For my aunt, whose husband, my uncle, passed away yesterday. And I believe it was the Lord. And for myself, I'm asking prayers because I'm coming down to see my family, who's very Catholic and grieving. And so it's created a lot of anxiety.
What's your aunt's name?
Judy.
Judy. Okay.
So for clarity of speech, as I witness.
Okay, somebody else. Tim.
For my mother.
Liz.
Yes.
For what?
Health.
Health?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody else. Yes. Okay. Okay. Somebody else? Unspoken. Somebody else? Mel and Joe. See? They're thinking of you, Mel. John.
For travel, for safety and travel.
Traveling mercies, yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody else. Again, David. Have you talked to Brendan? Have you talked to him?
No, I haven't.
You don't know how he's doing? Okay. Okay. He does. Somebody else. Carrie.
Can you pray for my dad, Bob, who is doing better, and for my sister, Roberta, who had a bad reaction to my shot?
Okay. Somebody else. Ken again. The what? Okay, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Pete. The thorn in your side. Okay. Okay. All right. That goes under understanding. Understanding. Somebody else. Jerry.
For my niece Jennifer, she's due to have her baby in the next week.
Okay. Baby, yep.
For health.
Mm-hmm. David?
Yeah, for the USA.
USA, of course. Anybody else?
Ukraine.
Huh?
Ukraine.
Yeah. Just so we know, everything is of God's will. Amen? And if it's of God's will, if there's a war, it's of God's will. If there's peace, it's of God's will. If the country's political leaders are not doing their job, it's God's will. We have to understand that this is a big plan, and God is in charge of it, and it's a big earth, but not in God's view, and everything is going perfectly. Hard to believe, but everything is running perfectly. And that's because we're not in charge of anything. He is. Amen? Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Wendy. At least I forget you.
Traveling mercies,
right. Okay, somebody else. Clark.
Yes, I have an acquaintance named Tom who's open to the word. I believe God's called him in that part. Whether it's me or whoever, it's with ministry for salvation.
Okay, salvation. Okay, somebody else. Okay, let's take a moment and quiet our heart. Gracious Father, we do thank you that we can come to you. We do come to you in obedience to your command. We know, Lord, as you know, Jesus, this life is very difficult. Sometimes it's traumatic. And there are a lot of things going on. We have war, the war in Ukraine. We have an unsettled America. But Lord, when you walked the earth, it was Rome. And a lot was going on in your time too. But your focus was on God. And so God, we come to you now as our focus. We leave that little hill on a little church on a hill, and we come to you in the spirit with our prayer list. As people raised their hands and spoke their concerns, you know what they are. You knew what they were before the worlds were formed. So we commit all this prayer list to you, everything on it. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about comfort. We're talking about healing if it pleases you. We're talking about traveling. All the things we do, all the things that were mentioned, Lord, even the unspoken and even those that didn't raise their hand, have issues in their heart, and we ask you, Father, to even address those. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you and we can cry our eyes out to you, Lord, and we can leave you in comfort because we know how much you love us. That's why we're here. And so, Father, we ask you to hear our cries for each other, our cries for the world, the unsaved, the sick, and brothers and sisters in Christ who are dealing with adversity. And I do think in particular, Lord, of Zach with the COVID. And I do pray for him with that. And also Ken for the right employment. And the Smith family, Lord, we pray for them. And Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to come to you with all of these requests. And we ask it with great faith. And we ask it in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it for your glory. Amen and amen. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 5. And while you're doing that, I want to remind you that God knows all of our frailty. He knows how frail we are. He knows what we need. Knows what we want, and he knows how to provide it, and he will provide it by his providence and grace. So we don't have to list them all. 1 John 5:19, if you take notes, I've entitled the message, The Wings of Faith. Wings of Faith. Thus saith the Lord, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. It's a very short text, but in it there's much information that's there to help us. So let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open up our text. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving again for all of God's word, but this we're looking at this morning, so we pray that you would speak to all of us here, and if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray that today would be the day that they meet the captain of their salvation. We pray you speak to every heart, bring comfort where it's needed, conviction where it's needed, edification where it's needed, whatever we need, Lord, we pray that your word would go out and touch every heart here in some way. Let us leave here with a blessing. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We know that we're from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Before I go any further, let me just say this. The only reason why the world lies in the power of the evil one is because God gave him the power for a while, a limited power. He can only do what God would have him do. Now the text, as I look at it, paints a picture of God's people being surrounded by the power of evil then, and it hasn't changed. It's still the same today. God's people are still surrounded and outnumbered by a world that's filled with evil. As a matter of fact, it's reminiscent, I think, of a battle that took place during the Normandy invasion during World War II. A group of the 82nd Airborne Army paratroopers were dropped deep into behind enemy lines in France, and they had a mission, and their mission was to take and to hold strategic positions. That was their mission. Now, for those of you who don't know, Army paratroopers are an elite army force who wear an insignia on their uniform, and the insignia is a parachute with two uplifted wings, and that shows that they are Army paratroopers. And now they fought in World War II in these positions, and they held them. They fought, and they took the positions, and they kept them, even under counterattacks. But after several days of fierce fighting, the Germans raised a white flag. So the German officer came forward in a neutral ground and asked to speak with the American officer in charge. And a young captain met between the battle lines, and the German said to him, "You're completely surrounded and outnumbered. Will you surrender?" Well, without flinching, the captain smiled and replied, "We're Army paratroopers. We're supposed to be surrounded and outnumbered. That's our mission." And those Army paratroopers went on to hold their positions until the reinforcements came. That was their position, to be surrounded and outnumbered and still win the battle. I tell you about this event because in many ways, God's people parallel or like are like the Army paratroopers in that, as Christian paratroopers, our insignia, instead of a parachute and uplifted wings, is a cross and uplifted wings. The insignia is called the wings of faith. And as spiritual paratroopers, we wear the wings of faith because we fight evil, we hold our position with God, even when we're surrounded and outnumbered. And the captain of our salvation, our Lord Christ, is leading us to victory over all the enemies of the cross, all of them. He's won the victories. 1 John 5:4 tells us, "For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." The wings of faith is what gets you the victory over this world. It's already won. It's just up to you to claim it. Now, there are many examples in the Bible of how the wings of faith have given God's spiritual paratroopers victory over evil. This morning, Tom read 40 verses of it, of what faith did in Hebrews 11. In Genesis 6:9, we learn that all the people on the earth, all the people, and theologians believe there are millions, were evil and hostile to God. And out of all the people in the world, there was only one man who wore the wings of faith, Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah and his family were surrounded and outnumbered by millions of people. Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of their thought of his heart was only evil continually. What was God's response to that evil? In Genesis 7:23, so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both men and cattle, creeping things and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. You see, sin is so corruptive that he said that God had to send all of mankind, except for those eight people. They ended up in hell, so that that one righteous man, that one man who wore the wings of faith, wouldn't be corrupted by an evil world. The whole world was gone. Proof first, 1 Peter 2:5. God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. 1 Peter 2:5. What a lesson that is in how much God hates sin. What a lesson. And what a lesson it is in what he'll do to fight it. And what a lesson that should be to us, to see the hatred of God, that he would be willing to destroy this whole planet to save one righteous man and his family. Here's another spiritual paratrooper that we find in the Old Testament is Israel. After Noah, God called out the tribes of Israel to be his people. Now, Israel went on to claim the promised land. And when they did that, they were surrounded and outnumbered by enemies that wanted to destroy them. God's people have always been outnumbered and surrounded. But in Joshua 23:9, we see that God gave Jacob's spiritual paratroopers the wings of faith and the victory over all of their enemies. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. That's what happens when God fights for you. Nobody can stand against you. The world can't stand against you. Evil forces can't stand against you. Your flesh can't stand against you because you wear those wings of faith that come from the cross of Christ. And even today, Israel is still surrounded and outnumbered by enemies. But God is still giving them victory over their enemies. No one's overtaken Israel since they went into statehood. Nobody has. Now, in the New Testament, the elect, you and I, we're also a type of spiritual paratrooper. When you're born again, instantly, when you're born again, regardless of your age or anything else, your wings of faith are issued immediately. Boom, right here. Why? Because faith is a gift. It's not the faith that the world talks about, oh, I have faith in it. It's a gift of faith. Ephesians 2:8, for you are saved through grace by faith, and that not of yourself, that is a gift of God, that no man, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift from God. It's a divine, unconditional gift of faith. And we all get a measured amount. When you pray, never ask God for more, because he's given you all he's given you. What he wants you to do is take what he's given you, and he wants you to strengthen it. That's all he wants you to do. We're immediately given the wings of faith. And in that same instant that those wings of faith are given to you, you're immediately surrounded and outnumbered by forces hostile to God. And every one of you here that wear those wings know that. The world is hostile to you. Your family is hostile to you. The world is hostile to you. And sometimes you're hostile to yourself. but God gives you the victory. John 15:9 talks about the hostility of the world. It says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Do you get that? When a person becomes born again, a genuine Christian, I'm not talking about these people that call themselves Christians that don't live the faith, they just talk the faith, okay? But if you're a genuine Christian, as soon as you get saved, your life changes. That's why he calls you a new creature, because you are a new creature. Now you're the type of person that the world doesn't want to have a whole lot to do with. Why? Because you have nothing in interest with the world. Yeah, you have a grocery store, you have that, but the glitter of the world, the sin of the world, you don't want that. Because now you're wearing those wings of faith. You're a spiritual paratrooper. You're an elite force for God. As a matter of fact, there's no other force in this world but you who shine a light of God into the world. Nobody else does it. Only his paratroopers do it. Now, that all being said, unlike army paratroopers who use guns and bullets and bombs, and we don't fight against flesh and blood. That's not our job. The war we fight against is a spiritual war. Matter of fact, we're told not to do that. We're told that we're not to strife, we're not to argue with people, and we're certainly not to kill people if they don't believe what we believe. Here's what Paul writes in Ephesians 6:12. He says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Do you understand the terminology? The spiritual forces of evil. Whenever anybody talks about having forces, they're talking about fighting. And our fight is not with people. Our fight is not with the government. Jesus never talked about, do you think Jesus, if he really didn't like the emperor of Rome, couldn't have taken him out? He could have willed him out. That wasn't his plan. It's still not his plan. He's working by his plan. But our fight is not against, and that's why during this whole political thing and all this other stuff that's going on, We tend to take sides. We tend to get emotional about it. God's in charge of it. That's good for me. And the only way a spiritual paratrooper can battle the spiritual forces of evil, the only way you and I can fight against evil is through the power and the strength of God. You can't beat them on your own. 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I don't know if you guys ever go back to when you weren't saved in a positive way, because you shouldn't go back in a negative way. But if you go back and you think about your life and you think about, wow, I did some really crazy things, and why did I do that? And yeah, was I able to overcome anything? No. You know what you find out if you really are honest with yourself? That through most of your unsaved life, you were dragged through life. In one way or another, you're dragged emotionally through it, you're dragged physically through it, you might be dragged financially through it. You're dragged through life. That's all that it is. It has no purpose. But now that you wear the wings of faith, now your life has a purpose. Now you're an elite people. You're God's chosen people that he chose to be in this world at this time to shine your light wherever you go. And in doing that, you fight evil. And Jesus backs up what John said in Luke 10:19. Talk about power. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know what that means? That means that in the spiritual realm, you have nuclear power. You have divine power. You can destroy anything. Why? Because greater is he that's in you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that you're never going to die? Do you understand? The world doesn't know that. The worst thing the world thinks about is, oh, I'm going to die. That's the end of life. No. Because he's in you and you're in him, you're never going to die. And you know that. What a weapon that is to get through this life. How it takes the pressure off your life of not being so concerned about everything. And as you, as we get older, we hear all these bad things that happen to us. Yeah, we're going to... Everybody dies. I can't tell you how many deathbeds I've been to, and I always say the exact same thing. Please don't be afraid of dying. Everybody dies. That's the fairest thing in this world. It comes to the poor, the rich, the sick, the healthy. Everybody dies. The problem is, when you die, are you ready to meet your Maker? And you see, as Christian paratroopers, we have the wings of faith. Yeah, we're ready to meet our Maker. I'm thinking we're ready to meet our Maker. Why? Because of all the ways He's moving in our life, all the things that He does for us, all the ways we acknowledge Him, and all the ways we see Him in our lives and in other lives. We see it everywhere. The world doesn't see that. I mean, people think you're off a spaceship if you really practice your faith in public. And I do that quite often because I have this wonderful ability to talk to people that I don't know, especially people that are rude. And I can do it, and I can do it in a very calm, sane way because I'm a great one-liner. So if somebody says something fresh, I always have a little comeback to them, so it's no problem at all. And I love to do it. And people look at you. And you know what that does for me? It makes me realize exactly what the Bible says, that I am an elite person because I have Christ. I have a new family. If you were downstairs this morning before Bible study, you stood back in a corner and you looked at, I don't know, 20, 25, 30 people down here, and you looked at that Bible study and you watched how they interacted. I was talking to Mario about that. He says, they're like a family. I said, no, they're actually, it's better than a family. You don't see anybody arguing. You don't see anybody in the corner with their cell phone. You don't see any of that stuff. It's better than your family, right? Your blood family. And we're all related by that blood. All of us are. Because we're all spiritual paratroopers. We're all fighting the same battle. We're all going in the same direction. And we all wear the wings of faith. All of us do. What a great life it is when you're doing that. And you have a purpose in life. It's wonderful. So you see, as spiritual paratroopers, in the first section it says that we know God. And because we know God, we know that it doesn't matter if we're surrounded by the enemy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're outnumbered by the enemy. It doesn't matter if Satan himself or any of his minions attack us. We have the power. We have the spiritual firepower, Mike, to defeat any enemy. You understand that? Any enemy. I don't care who it is. Even yourself. Because sometimes you are an enemy to God. Because you live in the flesh. You commit a sin occasionally. We all sin. You got that firepower. I never understood that. You know, you see movies where in real life, war movies, I was watching the Battle of the Pacific, and their firepower is everything. If you got a lot of firepower, everybody hides. That's the rule of firepower, right, Mike? You got a lot of fire, you got a lot of lead or fire going around or bombs dropping, everybody's looking for a hole. That's the kind of firepower we have. It's overwhelming. And the problem is most Christians just don't use it. It's like having a flamethrower, a spiritual one, I might add, and not knowing where the trigger is. It's not going to do you much good. We have all the spiritual firepower. I'm going to give you a proof first for that. I want you to take this home, and I want you to remember Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who's going to be against us? If God is for us, who's going to be against us? Who? Name them. Death? No. Nothing. Anxiety? If we let it, but no. Fear? If we let it, but no. Nothing. And if we have the victory, and we even have the victory over our last death, that's what I want to tell you. 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. This is wonderful. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, when you drop the carcass and become immortal at that point, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? There's no sting to death for a believer. None. When you die, you transfer. I told you, God looks at death as a vehicle. It's like an airplane, if you're saved, When you die, you're in that instant, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the devil, with the Lord. And in that instant, you're in glory. If you don't have Christ, then in that instant, you're on the subway and you're going down. It's that simple. It's just, and in both cases, you're alive. How do we know that's true? Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was in paradise, which was the heaven, equivalent of heaven at the time, and the rich man was in hell. They both died. That's where we go. There's no spirits floating around. The only spirits that are out there are evil ones. And how do we know? By the way, that's a good question. How do we know we are from God? How do you know that? Do you know if you're from God? Here's how you know. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Do you know that? This morning we had a wonderful Bible study, completely orchestrated and delivered by the Holy Spirit of God. It did. It was, you ask anybody that was there. The Holy Spirit was there this morning, okay? That's wonderful. And because he was there, we know that we're from God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been there. And if there were some people that weren't there, they got a close look at what God really is and what he does and how he can take a soul and through just meditating on a few words, bring you into worship and speak directly through you. We saw that. It's direct worship to God by the Holy Spirit because you don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. You don't know how to worship. I don't know how to worship. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us into that state. It's wonderful. That's why I'm saying the wings of faith make you the most powerful being in this world. And if the Spirit bears witness with you, as it did in Bible study this morning, to several of us, then you genuinely know that you wear the wings of faith. There's certain things in this world, that you can't fake. There's certain things in this world that are as real as rain, that are genuine. And your faith with God must be genuine. It can't be slighted, or it can't be tainted by religion, by your own opinions. It has to be pure as this book. There's nothing that I ever said in this pulpit that I can think of or ever been called out for or ever thought of afterwards that wasn't directly in direct context to what this book meant. And I got to tell you, when you do that, it becomes a habit. Now all of a sudden, that's all you want, is you want the right context, you want the right words, and you want the right advice, and that's the only way you'll get it from the Bible. That's how you know you're genuine. It's not like, you know, the Bible says I shouldn't do that. Well, I'm working on it. Maybe Thursday I'll get a better grip on it, but I don't have it today. It's not that. You either have it or don't. And again, I'm going to say this for a very long time, well, as long as the Lord gives me. You get out of God what you put into God. You really do. If you submit yourself to God, whatever you submit to God, that's, you reap what you sow. And if you're saying to God, squeeze me, I want more of you, I want to submit more of my life to you, you think he's going to say, well, I don't know, maybe tomorrow? No, I want more of you. He's going to fill you with his Spirit. How many of us do that? How many of us say, Lord, give me more? That's how you know you genuinely know God, because that's what a personal relationship is about. It's not about going to church, reading your Bible, doing Bible studies, being a religious person, going to and having the Lord. That's not about a relationship. Listen, the thief on the cross had a relationship with God for 3 hours, and he got to heaven with that relationship. And we're still talking about him, and every time we do, he gets a little more fruit in his basket because of what he did. But it wasn't him, it was God who put it in his heart to do it, in the same way it's God who puts his will in your life as well to bear fruit for him. You got to genuinely know God. A lot of phonies out there. A lot of phonies. I make that distinction because in the evangelical Christian world today, many of them claim to wear the wings of faith. But you know what? Their disobedience to God's word, their traditions, all the things that they do to twist words and to put in all the things that aren't true, abominations even to God, all the things they do show that the only badge they wear is the badge of unbelief. Period. You either believe or you don't believe. There's no half beliefs. It's sort of like a bullet. A bullet either hang fires and doesn't shoot, or it shoots. It doesn't like pull a trigger and it goes halfway down the barrel and says, you know, I'm tired, I'm not going to go any further. It doesn't do that. It goes all the way. And that's how we have to be with Christ. We have to go all the way. And that's how you know Christ, because you're willing to go all the way. But that's not true in the evangelical church today. And you know what? It isn't just today. Back in Jesus' day, Luke 6:46 says they were counterfeit Christians following him then. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do what I and not do what I say? There were people who were going, oh, Lord, Lord, we do this, and Lord, we do that. And what did he say? I never knew you. That means I never had a relationship. Listen, in the Bible, when you see the word know, it means, K-N-E, or new, it means that you have a relationship in the original language. Yeah, I never had a relationship with you, ever. And then in Mark 7:6, the Lord told another group, Isaiah prophesies correctly about you hypocrites. As it's written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It was no different when Christ was walking the earth as it is today, with one difference. There's more hypocrites. That's it. There's just more Christian hypocrites. And I would define a Christian hypocrite as somebody who claims the Bible, who claims the cross, who claims Jesus, who claims salvation, and doesn't live for him, or adds to it. Well, you have to do this too. No, Jesus did everything. As Christians, as believing Christians, you are an unconditional creature. And as Brother Wink told us a long time ago, we're unconditional because he paid all the conditions. He met all the conditions we would never meet. Christ did. And because he met that, we're unconditional, and everything we do should be unconditional. That's another way that we know we're God. You do not find many unconditional Christians in the evangelical church today. Now, John ends our text, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Do I have to tell you that the world is saturated with idol worship, false religions, Christian cults, and unbelief? I'm driving somewhere in Harlingen yesterday. I come to a stop sign, I turn to my right, and there was a statue. You ready for this? What a raincoat! Whoever heard of such a thing? They have a statue of a woman in a garden, and they had her covered over with plastic so she wouldn't get wet. That's the kind of Christendom we're talking about in most of the world today. These are people who dishonor. These are people who actually dishonor the blood sacrifice God provided for them. You understand that God provided a sacrifice, and he tells the whole world to repent. He tells them to. The Bible also says that there's none who come seeking God, no, not one. There's none righteous, and none seek after God, so they're not coming. But he provided the sacrifice. So imagine this. You provide a sacrifice for somebody, and they say to you, oh, I don't want it. I'm not ready yet. That's not for me. I'm good the way I am. And that sacrifice was bloody. This is why Hebrews 10:29 says, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? You understand that? You know what that's a good example of that? The blood of the cross of Christ, the blood's on the ground, he's dead, and those who claim Christ and then mock him by not doing what he says, because in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, you follow my commandments. Those people do this to the blood. Yeah, that's okay. That's what they do. everybody that rejects Christ is mocking it, that sacrifice that God provided. They don't take it. They don't accept it. They don't want it. In Noah's time, countless millions died in their sins. And now we're in hell waiting for judgment from the one, with a capital O, from the one they dishonored. Bible verses abound for that. Romans 2:8. But for those who are self-willed and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. 2 Peter says the same thing. By the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. And on judgment day, on that day, and there will be a judgment day, all who are being held in hell, like the rich man in Luke 16:24, who cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame and will be sentenced. Those people will be sentenced to an eternal punishment that's forever and ever. Revelation 20:13-14. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. That's the flood victims, by the way. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is God's word and God's promise to all who worship a false god. Even if you call yourself a Christian. If you reject the lordship of Christ, which means living for Christ, that's what the lordship, you don't hear that in churches anymore, do you? The lordship of Christ, living for Christ, then God promises you, it's a promise from God, the sovereign God, I might add, you will face eternal life in the lake of fire. It's not a promise. It is a promise, rather, from a God who is immutable. That's never going to change. When he looks at you, if he doesn't see his son's blood on you, that's the result. If you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, or you claim Christ but you're not living for Christ, if you're a hypocrite, or you're a tare, you're ungodly, you're irreverent, whatever you are, if that's you, that's the outcome that God himself wrote that he promises will happen to you. That's it. It's not a threat. It is an actual promise. But that doesn't have to be. He's also given you a remedy. He said, first of all, repent of your sins. And repenting of your sins is just simply means turn away from them. Get rid of them. Think more of him than you do of yourself, because that's really where sin comes from. You're constantly feeding yourself things that are ungodly because you don't know it. You don't know God. Repent of your sins. Ask him to forgive you. Then pray and ask Christ to come into your life. That's that simple. What did the repentant thief on the cross say? Lord, when you go into your kingdom, remember me. Or remember me when you come into your kingdom. Right? It's simple. It can't get simpler than that. And if you're, if you're practicing your faith or considering as a Christian, and yet you're not living your faith, why are you doing that? What is the point? What is the point of going to church every Sunday or going to Bible studies or going anywhere for an hour or two if there's no benefit for you? There's no benefit. All the churches today that are out there, all the Christian so-called, there's a billion of them I know for the church at Rome that aren't practicing God's word. I know they're not. Why? Because they tell you plainly they're not. There are other people all over the world, all different cults, all different so-called Christian religions. They're not practicing this book. And to make it clear, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. And it doesn't mean the commandments the way I interpret them. It means thou shalt not means don't do it. It's that simple. And if you're practicing false religion, if you're not, give it up, first of all. And if you don't, remember what he promised will happen to you. But if you do want to find Christ, if you do want him in your life, if you don't want to go to hell, if you want to be in heaven, but more importantly for the present, if you want to learn to live a life that's blessed because you have God within you, then you need to put on the wings of faith. And the only way you can do that is submit yourself to God and ask him into your life. And when you ask him into your life, You pray this simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and you're the only Savior that can save me. I submit my life to you. I confess my sins to you. Please save me. I ask it in no greater name than yours. And you know what? If you really believe that, Romans 10:13 says, for those whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that if that's true and that's in your heart, then you have the wings of faith. You're saved. You're part of an elite spiritual paratrooper team that has one mission. Shine your light and glorify God, and in the process you'll bear fruit. It's all connected. It's that simple. For my brothers and sisters, your present life and your eternal life are altogether different. Your present life is filled with understanding. Your present life is filled with the knowledge that you belong to God and He belongs to you. It's filled with understanding of events that go on, being under God's direct power. And because you know God, you're the spiritual paratroopers, the elite chosen that Isaiah 43:4 says, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. God wrote that. He wrote that to you, Wink. He wrote that to you, Judy. I love you. Tom? Angela? I love you. That's what he wrote. In our Bible studies, as you know, we're starting a Bible study on personalizing the Bible, finding applications. When he says, I love you, he means, I love you. That's how much I love you. I'll give you this. I'll give you that cross and everything that goes with it because I love you. That's you, brothers and sisters in Christ. You who wear the wings of faith. You're the ones that he loves. You're the ones that he's protecting. You're the ones that he's guiding. And you're the ones he'll welcome home in glory. Matter of fact, Ephesians 2:19 tells us that right now, we're already adopted. We're members of the household. That's why people talk about death if you're a Christian. Hey, I'm going home. I don't know if you weren't in the military, it's hard to understand this, but for military people like the few of us that are here, leave was a big deal. You know, you're away from home for a year. I was away from home at the most, I think, for 2 years or 2.5 years. I was busy. But anyway, it got so bad, you miss your home. You miss the street you lived on. You miss the people you used to know. You missed the cat. I missed everybody. And when you got home, you took your uniform off. I was in the Navy. You take your thing off. You're in your T-shirt. You get hugs, kisses. The cat jumps up on your lap. It's like, wow, it's great to be home. And you're there for 2 weeks, and you make every day count. The same thing applies when you leave this place. This is not your home. This is nothing more than a staging area for you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling so that he'll call you home when he wants to call you home, not when COVID called you home, not when a car accident called you home, or Ukraine called you home. You'll go home when he calls you and not before. And you know that. And Ephesians 2:19 tells us, then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. There ain't an angel up there that's adopted, you know. They're still servants. You're adopted. You're a member of the family. They're not. The Bible makes it clear, man and his world are hostile to God, number one. But God has chosen out of the world an elite group of spiritual paratroopers that he wants them to wear the wings of faith. And that would be all of you. And as Christian soldiers, our mission is to wage war against sin everywhere we find it. That's your mission. Wherever you find sin in your life, get rid of it. If you find it in a brother or sister's life, help them to get rid of it. Can't do much for the world because that has to come from God. We must understand that although we're outnumbered and surrounded, we have the firepower, and most of all, it's okay because we're supposed to be outnumbered and surrounded. As a matter of fact, I dare say that being outnumbered is a big part of God's plan for us. It's a big part for his elect because it's a refining tool that he uses to remove the dross from our faith. Malachi 3:3, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. So go home this morning. Go home rejoicing, because you are a spiritual paratrooper, an elite force that wears the wings of faith. And even though you may be surrounded and outnumbered by the forces of evil in an evil world, the captain of your salvation, Jesus Christ, has given you the victory over the world, over evil, and even over yourself. So wear the wings of faith proudly and claim the victories of that cross every day of your life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you give us so much. And Lord, nobody could ever go back home, that is to heaven. We can never come to your house and say, oh Lord, I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough power. I didn't have enough. Lord, you give us so much. You overflow. You put it on our lap, pound it down so it's overflowing. Your grace is just never as endless. It's not endless. It has no depth. Nobody can do that. Would you help us? As your children and those who wear the wings of faith, would you help us, Father, to go out into the world this coming week? And Lord, as Christians, as believing Christians who know you, would you give us the strength, the wisdom to go out there and shine a light and do it without arguing or strife, not letting us be sidetracked by the distractions of the world, as the hymn writer writes, and the things of this world grow strangely dim in the grace of his wonderful light. You've given us all that, Lord. Help us to shine that light and live for you. Jesus, we want the lordship of Christ. We want to live for you. Help us to do that. We know it's your will, so we ask it with great faith. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, our closing hymn is in 370, the Blue Book. Very appropriate. Victory in Jesus, Mike, 370. Sing it loud. I heard an old story